Senate will come to order. Chief Clerk will call a roll.
Roll call for Thursday, February 16th. Barnard?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Esquibel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Hines?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Meyer? Nicholas,
here.
Nutting,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Ross,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Schiffer,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Platern,
here.
President Anderson,
here.
30 present.
Prayer by Father Cronkleton.
And let us pray. God of mercy and compassion, we remember today those who serve us as emergency responders, especially those who serve as volunteer firefighters. These men and women put aside their other responsibilities to assist those in need. Help them when they come to our aid and keep them safe. Lord, we also ask that you be with us here today. We have been working hard and the days have required much thought, concentration and energy. Renew our enthusiasm and determination. Help us to push through all that we have to accomplish this day. Guide our work here on the floor of the Senate and in our committees. May this day be a productive one, so that when it ends, we can lay down our heads with the satisfaction of knowing that we have done so much more with the help of your grace than we would have been able to do by ourselves. We ask this in the name of your Son. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading clerk, would you please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 15th, 2012, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Nutting, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Doctor of the day today, is Dr. G.L. Smith from Cheyenne. Dr. Smith, thank you. And I might say that if the two individuals, the young individuals, would stand for a moment. I'm sorry, gentlemen, your names are not in the script, but these are two young WAMI students and future doctors, and we would look forward to the day that you'd come back and each of you be the doctor of the day. So thank you. Wyoming's very proud of you, and we're willing to put the effort, if you're willing to put the effort. Nurse of the day is Mary Kay Getter, and she's the on the board of nursing, and I don't know if she's here this morning or not. On this day in Wyoming history, Governor Richards in 1901, Governor Richards signed an act that required county commissioners to raise taxes for the purpose of building a residence for the governor of Wyoming. And then on this day in U.S. history, and this date I have here is the date 600. Now, I don't know if this was in world history or U.S. history, but said that Pope Gregory decreed that the saying, God bless you, is a correct response to a sneeze. Yes, Senator Christensen.
No,
don't give us the boot.
No, on a more sober note, privilege of the floor, Mr. President, excuse me. If you noticed the news, yesterday afternoon we had a helicopter crash over in Teton County up on Togee Mountain Pass. The crew consisted of a longtime pilot and two of our search and rescue team members. One of the team members was killed. His name's Ray Shriver. He served in Vietnam, I believe, as a forward observer. Spent a lot of his time as a young man out in the bush. Came back to Teton County years ago and came to work for the county. When our search and rescue team was organized about 18 years ago, he volunteered again for that, and he was one of our original team members. A truly precious individual who spent a lot of his life in public service. Just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you, and we appreciate that. Wyoming has so many dedicated servants. Thank you, Senator. I guess with that, if there's no other business to come before us, then let's go on to the introduction, reading, and business of bills, reference to bills. Senate File 84, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 84, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, County Commissioner's Special Expertise, an act relating to counties.
Senator Coe, would you like to speak to this, please?
I would move Senate File 84 for introduction. This bill is brought to you by the Joint Minerals Committee, and it comes about from some concerns that the county commissioners in the state have had in dealing with, like, the resource management plan in the basin. There's one going on in Fremont County. What we have here is the Council of Environmental Quality has regulations that state that a local government agency may participate in the federal NEPA process as a cooperating agency if the local government agency has jurisdiction by law or special expertise. Now, special expertise is defined under CEQ regulations as statutory responsibility, agency mission, or related program experience. Demonstrating statutory responsibility, agency mission, or related program expertise requires turning to Wyoming statutes to prove that boards of county commissions meet the criteria. Now, for example, through the Bighorn Basin Resource Management Plan, which Joint Minerals Committee has been very involved with in the interim, the BLM is arguing that the counties do not have special expertise when it comes to developing an inventory of lands with wilderness characteristics. And the BLM has actually denied the counties the opportunity to be involved in the inventory process through the cooperating agencies process. Additionally, we're having a difficult time with the new Shoshone National Forest Plan revisions. We've experienced pushback from the U.S. Forest Service regarding the county's role as cooperating agency, and questions have arisen regarding the county's special expertise to go to the table. That's what the bill does. It puts in the statute that county commissioners, in fact, do have the special expertise, or elected locally, to go to the table as cooperators. I'd ask that you support the bill.
Thank you, Senator. Regarding Senate File 84, Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 84, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 79, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 79, sponsored by Senator Hicks, Wildlife Trust Challenge Account Extension, an act relating to wildlife.
Go ahead, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, pursuant to Senate rules, I'd like to move for introduction Senate File 79, Wildlife Trust Count Extension. If I may borrow some of the terminology from the good senator, the most vertically challenged one from Natrona County, this is a good little bill. Basically, what this does is when the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund was established, the legislature put a challenge match grant available. And what that grant does is industry partners or other partners want to contribute to the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund, then the state, through this account, matches those funds to go into the corpus of the trust. In the 5 years since the inception of the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund, there's been 14 different corporate partners that have donated to the trust, which include oil and gas companies, uranium companies, coal companies, wind companies. Other entities that have contributed to the trust include local governments, wildlife and land conservation organizations, private individuals. And those contributions over the last few years have ranged anywhere from $90 from Douglas High School upwards to $500,000 from some of the larger corporate partners. Today, there's been approximately $1.1 million in donations made into the challenge match by our corporate partners, and approximately $1.3 million left in that challenge match grant. What this provision does is just move that sunset date for the revision of those funds to go back, moves that out to 2015. I ask for favorable consideration on
Senate File 79. Thank you, Senator. Regarding Senate File 79, Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard. Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Meyer, aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing
aye.
Vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 79, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 6, TRW. Senate File 90, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 90, sponsored by Senator Coe, School Finance Amendments, an act relating to school finance.
Go ahead, Senator Coe.
Hey, Mr. President, I would move for introduction of Senate File 90. This is the school finance bill, but changed a little bit from the Joint Education Committee. Let me back up just a little bit and remember what we did last year in recalibration. Understanding full well that the Supreme Court in their decisions in school finance and education reform requires the legislature to recalibrate every 5 years. So we did it in 2005. Some of us were involved in that. Did it again in 2010. It requires us to look at the regional cost adjustment. That's what you see in this bill. Now, if you look at this bill, you will see that it has everything the same as it was last year. Schools, school districts have the option to choose between three different indexes: the WCLI, the hedonic index, or 100, 100 being the statewide average. This is the way it was last year. This major change in this bill is it goes to the revised hedonic index, but leaves the WCLI and 100 in there. That's all the bill does. We do have some other adjustments in there when it comes to what the Joint Education Committee did in the interim with school configuration on co-location, and there's some new bullet points and a way to proceed with ECAs if we ever do that. It does have a $50,000 appropriations in that. We thought that we might want to have another look at the WCLI. We plan on amending that out in committee. We are not going to have that provision in there. Can't guarantee it'll pass, but I think it will. So I want to emphasize, this is the way it was last year. As we left this body, you could choose from the WCLI, the revised hedonic, or 100. Ask for your support of the bill. I would draw your attention to this handout. Pick out your favorite district. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Regarding Senate File 90, Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Doesn't weigh with him.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Yeah,
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
No.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Senate File 90, having received two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 80, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 80, sponsored by Senator Hastert, Hearing Devices Insurance Coverage and Act Relating to Insurance.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. Pursuant to Senate Rule 24-1, I move for introduction of Senate File 80 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the Senate, what this does is basically requires insurance companies to cover hearing aids for children. Right now, Medicaid covers them, but we don't have any other coverage for hearing aids. They cost between $2,000 to $6,000 for just the hearing aids themselves, and it's certainly something that is quite a burden to a lot of families. Studies have shown that, research has shown that children diagnosed with hearing loss and provided amplification within the first 6 months develop the language foundation necessary for literacy and academic success by the time they start kindergarten. Members of the Senate, you know that if we don't, I call it a quality of life issue. If we can get those individuals, those little ones, into some kind of hearing aids at a young age, then they're able to, we'll spend a lot less money on them in special needs throughout into their adult life going through school. I want to just kind of briefly go over the fiscal note. There's not actually an appropriation on this bill, but the state health plan account, they have shown where it was $333,000 and a potential impact the first year on this. And what that represents, and this is was quite a distress to me. And when I put the numbers into perspective and really understood them, it wasn't quite as bad as I thought it was going to be. The state health insurance plan has 15,000 subscribers. They pay out somewhere in the neighborhood of $186 to $188 million annually. This basically is 0.3%. And what it represents to the individual is approximately $22 annually or $1.85 a month if they use this as a criteria to base insurance premiums on. Like I said, it's quality of life for these kids, trying to get them to where they're able to hear. I wear hearing aids and actually forgot them this morning and was having a little tough time in the governor's meeting, but I understand what it means. So anyway, I ask for your favorable consideration. Folks would like to just have an opportunity to talk about this. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Regarding Senate File 80, Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout,
no.
Burns,
aye.
Case,
aye.
Christensen,
aye.
Coe,
no.
Cooper,
aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Platern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 24 ayes, 6 noes.
Regarding Senate File 80, having received two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor Health. Members of the body, we're going to pause in this current action for a moment. We heard a sharing of a story of a loss of a dedicated servant this morning, and it appears that we have some others that we can recognize. So I think, Senator Bebout, if you are ready and our honorees are here, we'll go forward. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Case, Senator Cole, would you come up here, please? Would you three wonderful gentlemen please come up here? That includes you, Gene. Members of the Senate, I would like to take a moment this morning to honor three Wyoming volunteer firefighters with 50 years of service to their communities. And, Mr. President, I'm going to get off the script a little bit to tell you personally what I think about the volunteer firemen, which is what a great service they do for the state of Wyoming. These gentlemen and women that do this and serve our state make us so proud because of what they do and how they do it and their attitude and giving, and have done it for many, many years. And these three gentlemen represent, I think, the epitome of that, as they spent 50 years doing this. The first one we have is Danny and Senator Case.
Thank you, Senator Bebout. Well, Danny Logan is the heart and soul of the Lander Fire Department. He's always been there. You usually see him, Mr. President, with a big cigar. She's chewing on it. Lots of times it's not lit, but it has been lit on occasion. But Danny Logue has a reputation that when Danny speaks, you listen, and has been a mentor to everyone at the Lander Fire Department, helping train several generations of the department.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President, the next gentleman is Gene Dietrich, also known as the Ball. I wonder why when you look at him. Around the fire hall in Newcastle, he served as fire chief for 6 years, was a member of the department's drill team for over 40 years, won the state competition 11 of those years, probably not in the last couple of years doing that, but certainly did that. And Mr. President, he's also a very good goose hunter. And I've had the opportunity in Torrington to participate down there and watch him shoot the geese, and he usually outdoes me, but that's part of the way Gene is and the way he attacks everything. So, members of the Senate, let's give Gene a well-deserved applause. Senator Coe.
Well, it's my pleasure to see Byron down here. I was 23 years on Cody Fire, and you and I did a lot of stuff together on mutual aid, but my pleasure, Byron. Byron Bennett served as a fire chief in Meteetse for 20 years and was instrumental in helping to rebuild the Meteetse Fire Hall, which allowed the district to gain a Class 5 ISO rating. Byron, it's so good to see you, and congratulations on your good work, and it was my pleasure to work with you all those years on and off.
Don't leave yet. Don't leave yet. And, Mr. President, I kind of got it out of order because I wanted to give them each individually as far as the resolutions we did. But they were signed by you as President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House, and as well as your respective county delegations. And we want to thank you so much. As I said earlier, you've done a great service to this wonderful state. Best of luck in your future endeavors. And once again, thank you. And God bless Wyoming.
Hear, hear.
And, gentlemen, before you leave and you're passing out the door, I just want to say, and we'll say it anyway, as they firemen know how to get out of a building. I just want to say, and we'll wait till they get to the back so we can kind of look them in the eye, but I just want to say to you, gentlemen, as you leave, hope, you know, what you've done, we just want you to know it doesn't go unnoticed. Today we've recognized that. And no matter what I would say, it would never be enough. So I'm just going to simply say thank you. And to those of you in the balcony as well. Okay. Back to our order of business. Senate File 85, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 85, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, General Permits, an act relating to administrative procedure.
Senator Jennings, you're rising to the occasion here, I see. Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't know how I can follow that, but give it a shot. Pursuant to Rule 24-1, I move Senate File 85 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is brought to us today as a committee bill through at the request of DEQ. And what had happened is that they've been issuing general permits for quite a few years. And there was a challenge in the court on a general permit, and judges not ever making a mistake. We can't say that they made the wrong decision, but kind of put it back to the DEQ where they're going to have to change, and it's going to put a lot of added expense there. And all they're wanting us to do is add, under general permit, the general permit means a permit issued by the Department of Environmental Quality, which authorizes a category or categories of discharges or emissions. And then it also adds in there that the general permit shall be issued solely in accordance with procedures set forth by regulations adopted by the Council. Procedures for the issuance of general permit shall include public notice and an opportunity for public comment. And by adding that public comment in there, that covers what we think that covers what the court was really after. So when you have a broad area of say like a watershed in a coal bed methane, you know what basically wanting to do. So they put the general permit together to cover all of that area and not just one piece of it at a time. So you can go out and apply for your permit under a general permit rather than an individual one. But if we pass this, you still have to go through the public comment sections or session and all that kind of stuff. So it's a simple fix to something we've been doing for a long time, and it's worked the whole time we've been doing it. So I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Thank you, Senator. In regard to Senate File 85, Chief Clerk, call the roll, please.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader, Driscoll,
aye.
Amrick,
aye.
Esquivel,
no.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
No.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Platern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Hastert, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 24 ayes, 6 noes.
Senate File 85, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to committee numbered 9, Minerals. Senate File 87, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 87, sponsored by Senator Meyer, State Employee Compensation Commission membership, and act related to state employees.
Senate File 87, Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Oops.
I'm sorry. Didn't anyone else hear that train whistle in the distance? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Senator Meyer.
Oh, Mr. President, I move under Senate Rule 24-1, I move for introduction, Senate File 87, State Employee Compensation Commission membership. Mr. President, over the course of the JAC markup of the bill, I've had several occasions to talk to the Chief Justice, and then before and her presentation to the joint meeting of the House and Senate. What this bill does, Mr. President, is put a member of the judiciary appointed by the Chief Justice of the Wyoming Supreme Court. It gives them a seat at the table at the State Employee Compensation Commission. As you recall, some of the history over the course of the last couple of years, we had wanted to give the staff and the law clerks and the folks that work for the Supreme Court a raise, but they hadn't had the opportunity to do a study like the Hayes Group study. Well, subsequently, they've done that study, but had they had a membership on this commission, they would have known that what the process was taking place on the executive branch and been able to have the study in hand at the same time that the executive branch had their work done on a Hayes study. So we wouldn't have had this lack and this lapse in the place that we find ourselves in today. So the Chief Justice was wondering how they could get some input into the process just to make sure they knew what was going on in the areas of compensation. And I told her as a past member of the Compensation Commission what the commission did. And she had felt that that was something that would be beneficial to the, I guess, the communication process between the three branches of government. And so with that, Mr. President, that explains the bill. It allows the judicial branch a seat at the Compensation Commission so they understand what's going on in the process. And I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Thank you. And now, Senate File 87, Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
No.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott. Von Platern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Senate File 87, having received two-thirds majority vote, is referred to committee number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 81, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 81, sponsored by Senator Peterson, Medicaid Fraud Recovery, and Act Relating to Medicaid.
Senator Peterson, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Pursuant to Senate File, or Senate Rule 24-1, I would move introduction of Senate File 81, Medicaid Fraud Recovery, and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, fellow senators, this is becoming an old friend. This was a bill that we introduced last year, and all the wisdom that we could muster passed this bill and went over to the other side and ran into some snags. There's been some changes to this bill. Primarily, the QUETAM provision has been removed, removing a lot of the heartburn that some of the opposition might have had on it. Just for some information, there's a list or a bullet list that has been handed out. You can refer to that. But some other items I'd like to bring to your attention. I serve on, Committee 2, Mr. President, and it has alerted me to the fact that this is a part of our budget that's somewhat out of control. And it's getting to be very, very expensive. We're going to find in the future that we're going to have to rob Peter to pay Paul to make ends meet here in this particular part of our health budget. And nationally, the Medicaid fraud has recovered $4.1 billion of recovered judgments nationally. Out of that, $2.4 billion has been recovered in civil health care fraud cases under the False Claims Act. The state of Wyoming does not have a False Claims Act. This bill will introduce that and give our department, our Medicaid fraud division of one attorney and two staff members, a little bit more authority to go after Medicaid fraud in the civil courts. This office, this small office from the AG's division, is returning over $8.3 million back into Medicaid programs since 2007. That's an average of $1.6 million per year. For a rough estimate of investment of $130,000 a year, 3 to 10% is estimated of all health care spending is lost to health care fraud. 3% is the widely accepted amount. In 2010, spending for Medicaid services was $508.4 million. 3% of that, $15 million in the state of Wyoming is estimated to have been lost to Medicaid fraud. So it is a problem, and even in our special state.
30 seconds.
This would give the state a very effective tool when dealing with entities that we don't want to prosecute, being able to pursue it in the civil courts. This is an important bill. We're at it again. And we'll get it passed this, and I'd appreciate your consideration of this important bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Senate File 81, Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines. Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 81, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Yes, Senator Barnard. Yeah, give me a moment to get your mic on here, sir. There you go. Go ahead.
I'd like to introduce Mr. Van Johnson up here in the North Balcony. He is a distinguished citizen from Uinta County. He's a former banker. He was Citizen of the Year 2 years ago, and as he served on the fire board for the fire department for about the last 25 years. I'd like you to welcome him to the Senate.
Thank you. Welcome, and we hope you enjoy your time in the Capitol. Senate File 88, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 88, sponsored by Senator Martin, Senior Citizen Service Districts, and Act relating to Senior Citizen Service Districts.
Go ahead, Senator Martin.
Pursuant to Senate Rule 24-1, Mr. President, I move for introduction of Senate File 88, Senior Citizen Service Districts, and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. President, as we see the need to tighten up the state's budget to reflect the downturn of our revenues, we also see the budgets of cities, towns, and counties declining to a much lower level. Cities, towns, and counties are looking for ways to be able to continue to provide services to residents of their communities or counties. There are few options that they can turn to provide funding for social services within their counties or communities. One option that towns and counties have to help in providing funding for services for senior citizens is establishment of a senior citizen service district. In 1997, the legislature passed legislation which authorized the establishment of the senior citizen service districts by the vote of approval of the residents of the proposed district. Presently, there are three senior citizen service districts in Wyoming, one in Platte County and two in Bighorn County. It has not been widely used in the state for several reasons. Under the present statute, once the district has been approved and established, it must go back before the voters every 2 years for reauthorization. The cost of the campaign to reauthorize the district falls upon the entities who are receiving funds from the district board. The entire board of directors is reelected every 2 years, and the present statute does not provide a good definition as to what entities are eligible to receive funds. Passing Senate File 88 will lengthen the time for reauthorization from 2 years to 4 years. The board would be elected to serve 4 year staggered terms so that there would not be a loss of institutional knowledge. And in the bill, the contracts for the provision of senior citizen programs shall be with entities meeting the definition of eligible senior center under Wyoming Statute 92-1201, subsection A, paragraph 3, or other nonprofit entities which provide solely senior citizen programs and shall be for the provision of services within the district. With that explanation, Mr. President, I would ask for favorable consideration.
Thank you, Senator. Senate File 88. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll. Emmerich,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
Von
Flatern, President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Senate File 88, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 82, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 82, sponsored by Senator Burns, ATM fees, an act relating to banks and banking.
Go ahead, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move for introduction, Senate File 82, ATM fees. Mr. President, anything worth doing is worth doing twice, and members of the Senate may remember we voted pretty close to the same bill last year. It took the cap of $2 per transaction out of statute, but what it did is it put it into the banking commissioner's hands. And if you also recall, one of the problems with that is the fact that more than half of the ATMs in the state are not owned by banks. They're owned by private individuals. And currently there is no banking commissioner to do anything about it. In the meantime, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency had determined under the National Bank Act that all national banks are preempted from ATM fee caps anyway. So now we've got a situation where the law is being unevenly applied. And as a result, Wyoming is the only state, as far as we know, is the only state left in the nation that has any caps on ATM fees at all. So what this bill basically does is remove the caps on ATM fees. It's that simple. I ask the body, vote aye.
Thank you. Senate File 82, Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas? Nutting, Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Senate File 82, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to committee number 3, Revenue. Senate File 86, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 86, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, Greenhouse Gas Air Quality Regulation, an act relating to public health and safety.
Senator Bebout, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, pursuant to Rule 24-1, I move for the introduction of Senate File 86, Greenhouse Gas Air Quality Regulation. Members of the Senate, this bill is brought to you to try to resolve an issue that we have in our state. And as many of you know, in the past, our DEQ has had air quality primacy in our state. And because of things that have existed going on with the federal EPA, this is now in jeopardy. And, in fact, it's been changed. And because of the Congress failing to implement greenhouse gas regulations and the EPA trying to implement them by rule, given the nature of this issue, we found ourselves in a situation where, because of existing law, talking about the Kyoto Protocol, we could not enter into a state implementation plan to allow us to be able to maintain primacy. And we are currently under a federal implementation plan. And what this bill does, Mr. President, because that now means we have dual permitting, and it's very complicated, very time-consuming, where if a person wants to build a plant in Wyoming, they have to go through our own DEQ for the air quality Title V permitting, and then they have to go to Region 8 out of Denver for the greenhouse gas portion of that permit requirements. And what we try to do here, Mr. President, is bring to you some legislation that it's a very delicate balance between not wanting to buy into the greenhouse gas regulations that are being pushed by EPA, yet eliminate dual permitting. The bill, if you look through the bill, Mr. President, and you start on page 2 with the restrictions, it allows the rulemaking process to begin so the DEQ can, in fact, have the primacy to regulate all air quality permits, including greenhouse gas regulations. But there are some exclusions under that we have put in there to protect us. One is if, in fact, the statute has to be changed and we move forward with the rulemaking process, we start down that road, but we decide that we like it, then we, the legislature, will come back and decide to eliminate the previous statute that prohibited us from having state primacy. The other thing about that, Mr. President, is if, in fact, there's some litigation that occurs that will go in favorably in our direction, and we could proceed in that manner. Mr. President, also goes on to say that if, in fact, Congress, if you look on page 4, enacts a law prohibiting the United States Environmental Protection Agency from regulating greenhouse gases, or a federal court decides in that direction, then this is all null and void, and we won't have to worry about it.
30 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a good bill. It's a complicated issue. I will share with you, members of the Senate, that it took about three or four meetings between industry officials involved on both sides of the issue to come up with a compromise. That's what this bill represents, and I would ask that you support it.
Senate File 86, Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns. Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel. Geis.
Aye.
Hastert. Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 86, having received two-thirds majority vote, is hereby referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 89, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 89, sponsored by Senator Hines, Pioneer Hunting Licenses and Act Relating to Game and Fish.
Go ahead, Senator Hines. So noted for the record. Senate File 89, Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case. Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 89, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 6, TRW. Senate Joint Resolution Number 2. First reading of the Joint Resolution.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, sponsored by the Tribal Relations Council. Riverton Uranium Mill Tailings Remedial Action, a joint resolution requesting Congress to provide for increased monitoring and funding for remediation of the Riverton Uranium Mill Tailings Remediation Site.
Go ahead, Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for the introduction of Senate Joint Resolution
Number two, the uranium mill tailings, let me get the exact language, Riverton Uranium Mill Tailings Remedial Action. Mr. President, this was sponsored by the Select Committee on Tribal Relations. This is an area of great concern in Fremont County where there is a site where uranium mill tailings were uranium was processed, and there was a great tailings area between the Big and the Little Wind River just south of Riverton. And what's happened is that most of those tailings were removed, but not before there was contamination of the site. And so the Department of Energy has proposed a solution whereby the site has kind of been stabilized a little bit. There's been monitoring wells put in, and there's been some watchful waiting, thinking the site will clean itself up in about 100 years. The problem is that that has not occurred, and that the levels of contamination have actually increased, not decreased, and it's partly a result of some great flooding that we had in Fremont County. You know, it's a floodplain between two rivers, and the Department of Energy has not been so forthcoming on this issue. It's also a concern of our chief executive, who sent a letter to the Department of Energy, but this would give a little bit of help to our friends and citizens of the Wind River Indian Reservation who surround this site. It's also very close to the city of Riverton, and Riverton's the water flows down into Riverton. So it's kind of putting our effort to try to clean up probably the most contaminated radioactive site in the state of Wyoming, and one that is showing increasing contamination. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Thank you, Senator. In regard to Senate Joint Resolution 2, Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel. Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, having received a two-thirds majority, is referred to Committee Number 9. Senate File 75. First reading of the Senate file.
Senate File Number 75, sponsored by Senator Driscoll, Business Ready Community Program Planning, an act relating to Business Ready Community Grants.
Go ahead, Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. President. Under Senate Rule 24-1, I would move introduction of Senate File 75 and ask your favorable consideration. This bill is a pretty simple bill. The Business Ready Community Grant Program has been phenomenally successful in the state of Wyoming, creating jobs and infrastructure in small towns and larger towns across the state. This bill simply adds the ability for these communities to obtain planning money as part of the grant process. Up to this date, they've not been able to, and that has caused some communities not to be able to access federal money. Planning, as we all know, is a key component of really making good projects happen correctly. With this, there's no change in the budget. This works all within their existing budget. It simply allows towns to access money to be able to plan in an efficient manner to make their projects spend the money they receive from the state in a more efficient manner. With that, I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Thank you, Senator. Senate File 75. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout. Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson, Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 75. Having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Senate File 83.
Senate File Number 83, sponsored by Senator Coe, Cigarette Manufacturing, an act relating to regulation and taxation of tobacco.
Senator Coe.
Yeah, Mr. President, I move introduction of Senate File 83. Senate File 83 is a bill I am bringing at the request of the State Attorney General and the Department of Revenue to preempt a problem that is occurring in many states but is yet to surface in Wyoming. Expensive roll-your-own cigarette machines are being sold in many states, including states on our borders, to retailers as a way to manufacture cigarettes and avoid purchasing the required tax stamps and avoid paying the state cigarette tax. These operations also don't use state-required fire-safe paper and avoid the requirements to pay into the Master Settlement Agreement, escrow, required by our state laws. This legislation does not preclude any business in Wyoming from entering into this business, but only says that if you do, you will be required to be licensed, pay the taxes, and make sure the end product, cigarettes, are fire-safe. So we have an opportunity to address this potential problem before any unsuspecting Wyoming business or consumer is harmed. I ask for your support for the introduction. This is meant as no offense to my good friends in the smoking lounge that happen to roll their own.
Senate File 83. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader, Driscoll,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer, Scott, Von Flatern, President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 83, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. We have any reports from standing committees?
February the 16th, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 42, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Burns, Christensen, Dockstader, Esquibel, Conflict, Senator Driscoll, Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 15th, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 57, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Barnard, Cole, Jennings, Landon, Rothfuss, Senator Coe, Chairman. February the 15th, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 15, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Bebout, Cole, Cooper, Jennings, and Rothfuss, Senator Bebout, Chairman. February the 16th, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 17, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye. Senators Burns, Christensen, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Escobel. Senator Burns, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Cohen, we'll go to Senator Perkins. Go ahead, Senator Cohen.
Yeah, Mr. President, I would request that Senate File 57 be re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. It does have an appropriations in it.
Requested that be re-referred to Committee Number 2. Are there any objections? Seeing none, that re-referral will be approved. All right, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yesterday when Senate File 26 was read back, or in the committee report referred back out of committee number one, I neglected to request that that be re-referred to appropriations. Senate File 26 does have an appropriation in it, and at this time I'd request that that be referred to appropriations, re-referred. Thank you.
Without objection, seeing none, that re-referral is okay. Senator Burns. Go ahead.
Mr. President, Senate File 42, large project funding, which was just read in, has an appropriation. I ask that you re-refer it to appropriations.
Okay, Senate File 42. Are there any objections to be re-referred? Seeing none, Senate File 42 has been re-referred to Committee 2. Are there any other re-referrals? That brings us then to the bills on second reading, I believe. I'm going to take just a minute to look at what we have at hand here. Okay, Senate File 3, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 3, Secretary of State Authority.
And I believe that there is an amendment, and I believe that, Senator Nicholas, that is your amendment. Would you like to speak to the amendment, Senator Nicholas? Amendment being second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 3.
Thank you, Mr. President.
And,
ladies and gentlemen, what this does, going over on page 4 of the bill, is simply deletes that section and leaves in the old language.
I'll have you read it. Yeah, we need to have that amendment read in. That's okay. That's my error as well. Go ahead. Read that amendment in, please.
Senate File 3, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 5 and 6.
Okay, go ahead. Senator Case, would you like to speak? All right. Senator Hines, go ahead.
President, we worked with this as a committee bill and worked with the Secretary of State, and they have gave me the information that the only change that these wordings will do will merely bring the LLC Act in line with the Profit Business Corporation Act. The the notification is the same as it was before, with or without the amendment. They still does a 60-day notification and delivery. I don't believe that we're, other than what they say, that to bring the profit into line with the Profit Business Corporation Act, that we're really changing anything. It's just adding that word company is when it company is without a registered agent, and for whatever reason, then the Secretary of State will continue the same policy that we currently have used in the past. So I don't see the benefit of changing the bill as written.
Is there any other questions or before the sponsor of the bill responds? Go ahead, Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. That's precisely correct. I guess we have to remember why we're doing this. We're trying to make sure that corporations have a person that can be contacted that's tied to that corporation, because the problem is to have corporations that use Wyoming's incorporating laws, our good name, to hold themselves out when there's no contact with a real person. That's where you can get shenanigans that happen, Mr. President, and some of the news stories we've heard about have illuminated that, mostly in the context of corporations that actually have nothing to do with business in Wyoming. So really, without this existing statute, the Secretary of State's office cannot do anything about corporations that don't have a registered agent. And it's not like if you're a registered agent, if a circumstance comes about that you don't have a registered agent, it's not like you're automatically not doing business. If you look a little farther down in the bill, line 19 on page 4, what happens is the Secretary of State shall mail by certified mail a notice of its failure to comply with the aforesaid provisions, and unless compliance is made within 60 days of the delivery of notice, the limited liability company shall be deemed defunct. So what happens is when the Secretary of State's office becomes aware that they don't have a registered agent, they don't have a person putting a name tied to that corporation, they send them a notice and they have 60 days. We need this part of the statute, and I would oppose the amendment.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. For the amendment, and this is one of the things I struggled with the bill. I don't think anybody here, Mr. President, is interested in fostering and assisting individuals or creating an environment where fraud can be is rampant in the state of Wyoming. I don't think what this is about. But in looking at this bill and in considering it while I was in the chair yesterday during committee on the whole, one of the things that came to my mind was I'll give you an example of where I think why this net is too broad and why it casts it too broad. I have a client who owns a ranch in the western part of the state, the beautiful part of the state, in Fremont County. It's a ranch family. That individual, they operated under the form of a corporation. The husband slash father died about 5 or 6, 8 years ago, and was the registered agent. Well, they came into the office here recently, and we were doing something completely unrelated to that. Didn't have anything to do with his death, but we had with the ranch and the corporation. So as a part of that, we went back and reviewed their corporate status, and what we found was he was the registered agent. He's been dead for probably 7 or 8 years, and as I read the stat, unless I read this wrong, in line 11, if the limited ability is without a registered agent, well, they've been without a registered agent for 8 or 9 years now. That at that point, it says for any reason, which I think death is probably a reason, it shall be deemed to be transacting business within the state without authority. When I read that, it tells me that that ranch family, not realizing or not understanding, or one of those things that would miss them when the father passed away, they've been transacting without authority for 8 years, and I think that's the concern that Senator Nicholas has is trying to address with this. And excuse me, the good senator from Albany County is trying to address with this, and I think that's what our concern is. And so that's what I'm trying to resolve. And this This puts it back the way it was because it'll protect Wyoming families, and we've got to find a better way to cast a narrower net so we catch those individuals that we want to in this case. Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion on the Nicholas Amendment. Senator Case, second time.
You know, we're going to have this issue of balancing our good Wyoming corporations where people live here and we know them and they're in our backyards with the whole host of entities that are looking to defraud people or do legitimate business but are looking for a home for that corporation. And Wyoming, unfortunately, has too often been that home. Now, the Wyoming corporation kind of the advantage in this circumstance when people know who they are, they're local. In that situation, the Secretary of State would have sent a certified letter, and there must have been other filings that they received from the Secretary of State. I just can't imagine it going years without any kind of interaction with the Secretary of State's office. But think about it from the other point of view. If there's no contact with the Secretary of State's office for years with a corporation, is something wrong? Is that the kind of thing we maybe should worry about? That's why we need this bill and this section, especially for those people that aren't our neighbors, not our people in our backyard, but want to use our business laws to defraud citizens throughout the country.
Thank you. Senator Nicholas, second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, just look at the old language and take the example of the ranchers, ranching family, lived in a home. One of the family members passes away. Under the old language, even if that person passed away, his registered office would still be at the house. If there was a summons issued, they bring it to the house. Everybody would know it. You would not be administratively dissolved for an apparent wrong reason. You might have been getting those notices every year. You filed your annual reports every year. You did your taxes. You're not doing anything other than you had a misfortune. And the summons comes to the house, everything's fine. Now it's no longer fine. I'd urge you to keep the law the way it was.
Any further conversation? Question on the amendment being the second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 3, the Nicholas Amendment. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no?
No.
That amendment is carried. Division being called. All those in favor of the amendment, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. As I said, that amendment has passed. Back on the bill. Seeing no one rising for questions on the bill, Senate File 3, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
Mr. President.
Yes, Senator Meyer.
May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, in the balcony above you, there's some kids up there and from the Wyoming Youth Challenge Program, and they represent, I think, some of the best and brightest futures of the state of Wyoming. Their directors with them and some of the staff. I would like you to help me welcome them to the Senate.
Welcome, students. We hope you enjoy your time in the Capitol, and this body is quite used to facing challenges. Senate File 4, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 4, Registered Agents, Commercial Agent Registration.
There is an amendment, and I'd ask that the clerk read that amendment in at this time.
Senate File 4, Second Reading Amendment Number 1, page 3, line 10.
Second Reading Amendment Number 1, Senate File 4, and the First Amendment is the Nicholas Amendment. I'd ask Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 4. Ladies and gentlemen, this addresses the bill over on page 3, and this is the requirement that this is the provision that provides that we're going to now have pretty healthy fines for people that are just late in their filings. And the bill was intended to reach some of those entities that might be trying to get around the system. On page 3, what we simply do is take the word person out and insert in lieu thereof business entity. And the effect of this, Mr. President, is to recognize that there's a difference between persons who are registered agents that actually live in the state. That is the whether you're being an attorney or a non-attorney or a rancher, and you happen to be a registered agent, and those that are business entities doing it for a living. So they say, look, these provide to business entities, and certainly they're in the business of doing it, and they should not fail. But for the rest of us that are just persons, we exempt us, and you know, what's the harm? We're here, they can call us, you can find us, we live here. So there's a big difference between being a business entity doing this for a living and a person that does it as a courtesy or you happen to be doing it for your own companies.
Further discussion, Senator Case, go ahead.
Well, Mr. President, I appreciate the thinking that's gone into this amendment, and it actually does illustrate a piece of the bill that we probably got to tweak a little bit, but this amendment is not it, and I'd ask you to oppose it. The problem is that you can go both ways. You can be a person or you can do it under a company name. You could be either one. But if we start cracking down on entities that are, if we say that there's commercial entities doing it now, they're doing it as a, maybe they're organized as an LLC, for example. Well, if we start cracking down on that situation and fraud in that area, they'll just come back and do it individually as a person. And you don't have to live in Wyoming to be a registered agent for a corporation. You could be a person in New York City, Fifth Avenue, and you could do this for 1,000 companies as a person in Wyoming. You choose the business form. If you believe you can make this amendment and just catch Wyoming people and give them exception, you can't. It applies equally both. What we need to do on third reading is come back with an amendment that says person or business entity. That's really the way we need to go, and I ask you to defeat this amendment.
Thank you. Further discussion on this amendment, Senator Scott?
Mr. President, I'm against this amendment. Look at the line that is being amended, page 3, line 10, any person acting as a commercial registered agent. So we're getting the people that are doing it on a commercial basis. This is not going to hit the individual who's a registered agent for their own company. It is not going to hit the circumstance where you're just doing it for one or two people. This is going to hit the people that are in the business. And if you pass the amendment, what you're going to do is you're going to see a distinction between how we treat, as I understand it, how we treat the attorney who is incorporated, their business entity. They're going to get hit. And the attorney who's not incorporated, just doing business on their own, it leads to an unfortunate distinction, as I understand it. And I think we'd be better off defeating the amendment. And I don't think a third reading amendment is needed either, because the word person catches both the natural person, such as we all are, and the corporations that are here. So I think it's the right word. I think the bill is worded properly as it is. I would urge us to defeat the amendment and pass it with this language.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to clarify, reading from the law that was passed a couple years ago, 1728,
101A, which starts, each business entity shall continuously remain in this state. And this is talking about registered office and registered agent. It talks about each business entity. And then you go to A2, says that they must maintain a registered agent who shall be. Then there's a couple of choices. One of them is an individual who's at least 18 years of age, resides in this state, and whose business office is identical to the registered office. And I think that goes exactly to the good senator from Albany County's point is, if it's a business entity, they could be anywhere. They could be on Fifth Avenue in New York. They could be in San Francisco. They could be in Guatemala. We don't know. But when, if it's a person, an individual, then that person has to, one, be an adult. They have to be a resident of Wyoming, and their business office of that resident of Wyoming has to be in the state of Wyoming. So I believe that the good senator from Albany County's amendment catches that. It recognizes that if you're a business entity, that's a different rule. But if you're a person, that means you're a resident here. Going to the other thing about commercial, keep in mind the only definition of a commercial is you got ten businesses. I know that sounds like a lot, but I can tell you that I know of people, I have clients who, if they've got, you know, they've got a business and they may have some real estate that's owned here and some business operations that are owned there. It's not hard to be a registered agent of 10 corporations. You know, my guess is you could find people in this chamber, or at least in one end of this building or the other, that have that many on their own. So, you know, we may want to look at that, but just because they have the word commercial doesn't mean that you're in it for that business. It just may mean that you're a busy guy or gal. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further comment or question? Go ahead, Senator Case. This, I believe, is your second time.
Yes, sir, Mr. President. I stand corrected on the person not being able to be in New York City, but I think the basic premise that you allow people to choose between the two, whether they're incorporated or not, holds. And why would you have a different set of standards for a different circumstance when they're doing the exact same thing?
Any yes, go ahead. Final. Is there any further comment, question before the sponsor takes his final? Go ahead, Senator Nichols.
The answer to that question is simply, and my colleague from Casper is exactly correct. There is a difference. And most of you, if you have LLCs, businesses, companies, you may enjoy the fact that there's an attorney in town that is offered to be your registered agent, may never charge you a dime for it. And they do it as a courtesy. But those people live in the state, and they, by definition, they have to live here, and they have to have an office here. And frankly, I don't know any abuse. There's been no asserted abuses that people that live here, have offices here, have any problems. Now, if you're a law firm and you incorporate for this purpose, have at it. You want to charge people, it's a different set of rules. If you're a business entity, you want to come up and have the post office boxes, and you're collecting the mail, have at it, different terms, conditions. But when you're doing this as a courtesy, and now you got a $500 bond or fine, what are you going to do? You're going to pass it on to your clients, people like you. And there's been no asserted abuse by people who live in the state, have an office here, and they are a personal there. Not in your law firm, but in your name, Joe Blow. There's been no asserted abuse of those, and I'd urge you not to create a law that essentially passes this enforcement obligation onto our local citizens that doesn't need to be there.
Ready for the question on the amendment? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 4, the Nicholas Amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has passed. There is a second amendment to Senate File 4.
There's a request for a division.
I'm sorry. Okay, division being called. All those in favor of the Nicholas Amendment, please stand. All those opposed, stand. And take the time. All right, thank you. There is a second amendment to Senate File 4, that being the Perkins Amendment. The reading clerk will read that amendment in at this time, please.
Senate File 4, second reading amendment number 2, page 1, line 4.
Senator Perkins, would you like to speak to the amendment?
Yes, I would. Mr. President, I'd move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 4. And at this time, Mr. President, I'd like to actually divide the amendment, if I could, please. What I'd like to do is Division 1 would be lines 1 through 22, and Division 2 would be the lines 23 through the remainder of the amendment.
Okay, give me a moment just to look at that, Senator Perkins. I believe that that's clearly divisible. Go ahead on Division 1 if that's...
If I may, I'd like to go to Division 2 first.
You may go to Division 2.
And I would withdraw Division 2. It basically does. It just replows the ground we just plowed.
Okay, go forward.
So now I'd like to go on to Division 1, if I may, then.
Go ahead. Division, just for the body, Division 1 is what he's speaking to, and it'd be line 1 through 22. Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. What I've done here is a couple things. There was in the discussion on the Committee of the Whole, there was a point brought up the other day that what you have is a situation where when someone is a registered agent, and if they have become either through neglect or through it willfully have failed to renew their registration as a registered agent, you get in a situation where it seems to me that they can't withdraw as a registered agent. So what I did in the initial first of those two through 11, what that intent does is simply says that they're deemed, and that's that question where if they fail to keep their renewal up as a commercial registered agent, they're deemed to continue to be the registered agent for a number of reasons. And if you go back in what you can do, well, what's not in the bill, but it's already in statute, is this way that you resign. And the good chairman of corporations had said, well, they can go back and resign. So what I'm trying to do on this loop is close it so they're deemed to be it until they actually go back and go through the process of resigning. And so if they're resigned, that's what the first part of this does, is simply say you're deemed to be that until you actually go through the formal process of resigning. And if you do that, then you are resigned and you're not deemed to be the head of that agent, that registered agent anymore. The rest of that part's lines 13 through 22 of Division Number 1 simply changes the registration requirements of being 10. You're commercial if you serve 10 to raise it to 25. And it only, in this part, is only to a person who serves a registered agent for 25 or fewer business entities. I left intact the references to if you're an agent, you couldn't create a chain on this where you have 10 here and you have 25 here and then 10 and 10 and 10 and 10. We left those other ones intact, but just the initial overall thing, just raise that one to 25 for the very reason we've already talked about, which is it's not hard if you're an active business person and have a number of entities. It's not hard to be a registered agent over 10 companies. It's pretty easy when you look at limited liabilities and corporations and limited family partnerships and things like that. So with that, that's what this does, and so I'd ask you for favorable consideration on Division 1. Thank you, Mr.
Okay, comments, questions regarding Division 1. Senator Case, go ahead, please.
Mr. President, my very creative friend has brought forward a complicated amendment, and I would ask that it actually be further divided, Mr. President.
And go ahead. And Senator Case, if you'd step a little closer to your mic, I want to make sure that I hear this.
I apologize, Mr. President.
Go ahead.
I'd ask that the amendment be further divided, Mr. President.
All right.
And we're going to separate out the two issues. The one about contained in the division is actually lines 7, 8, and 9 would be one division. And the rest of the lines 1 through 6 and 12 through 21 would be the second division. And if... what I'm trying to capture is separating the issue of the agent resigning from the choice of 10 versus 25 companies, so we can clearly do this. And just if that's an acceptable division, I'll speak to however you want to do it.
Senator Case, I believe that it is, but I want to check. I'm calling your divisions for my own reference, kind of A and B within Division 1.
Yes.
Yeah, you referenced line 7 and 8 being 7A, or the first part of your division?
7, 8, and 9.
7, 8, and 9, I'm sorry. And then the second portion of yours, which would be the B portion, if you will, would be made up of two parts of the amendment. The first part of B would be 1 through 6, and then the second part being the remainder of what was Senator Perkins' Division 1.
Absolutely correct, sir.
I think that we're all in line, and if you would go forth with your... Just go ahead.
Absolutely. Mr. President, I speak in favor of Part A, which is lines 7 through 9.
Okay, question being called on Part A of Division 1, that being lines 7 through 8. All those in favor of that division, please. 7 through 9, I'm sorry. Thank you. Division A, 7 through 9. All those in favor of that particular division, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That portion, identified as Portion A, has passed. That then takes our conversation back on Parts B. Is there any further discussion on Part B, Senator Case?
Mr. President, I'm not sure if the sponsor should have his first shot and the last shot on this, but
yeah.
At your pleasure. I sort of think of taking the number of commercial resident agents from 10 to 25. It's a significant question. It's really outside this bill and what this bill was brought. And I would ask probably that the chair rule that that's not an appropriate amendment to this bill. But if you do rule that it is, I think there's a great policy choice. I mean, 10 companies is a lot of companies. And then it seems to be represented that 10 companies are, you know, you can run into 10 companies pretty easy. I don't know. I still think that most people, 10 companies created for the purpose of fraud, create a lot of mischief and deceive a lot of people. So I'm not sure that we should raise the difference between 10 to 25. And I do think that probably I'd ask the chair to consider ruling the amendment out of order and not germane to the bill.
I believe that it is germane, and we're going to continue with the discussion. And I would ask Senator Perkins, at some point you'll want to address this, but Senator Bebout, I think it would be appropriate to call on you. Senator Perkins, you'll get the final discussion in regard to this Part B, which is under consideration now. And I do believe that at this point that it is germane. Senator Bebout, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Mr. President, speaking on in favor of this portion of the amendment, and as I understand it, what we're talking about is the definition for a commercial registered agent. And of course, that I thought with all of the legislation we've passed relative to trying to get rid of the bad actors in Wyoming was really pointing to that. And if you raise this threshold, I think that you're talking about situations in Wyoming where we truly have people that are under 25 in terms of the number of corporations they may represent, and they're not commercial registered agent. And I went down to the Secretary of State's office this morning and asked them to pull up my name and see how many I was involved in. And I got nervous about having to be a commercial registered agent. And so I think this is a good bill. I still think you have plenty of opportunity to go after the bad actors, but I think you really protect people in Wyoming that may be involved in a lot of this. And particularly, it's not only individual businessmen like myself, but attorneys that may want to represent 15 or 20 for clients. And I think that's a good number. I actually was going to propose an amendment and have a slightly lower number, but I think 25 is a good number. So I would ask that you support this.
Any other conversations? Second time on Part B, Senator Case, and then we'll go to Senator Perkins to try to conclude this. Go ahead, Senator Case.
Well, we haven't discussed this in committee, Mr. President. I mean, this very much seems to me that this is a big step to more than double the number of entities you can represent to be considered a commercial registered agent. That was not the purpose of the bill. The bill was brought with respect to requirements thereof, and so all of a sudden, this amendment would allow somebody to have 20, no more than, you know, 24 companies, you would be not a commercial registered agent. That's a lot of companies, a lot of potential mischief, a lot of potential fraud, and we do have to worry about Wyoming being a fraud-friendly state. We need to protect people, not give an opportunity for fraud.
Any further discussion in regard to this portion of the amendment before the sponsor of the amendment raises for his final shot? Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, Mr. President, as to the fact of whether this is a lot of companies, you look at it, if you were in the business of being a commercial registered agent, you'd go broke if you only had 25 companies to represent. So I don't think if you're really looking at a true commercial registered agent who's going out there to try to make money in this business of being a registered agent, you're going to be the agent that has hundreds or thousands of these people so they can charge them a lot of money. And if you're in a person that wants to be a person of mischief, you'll simply go to several people who are commercial registered agents and get around the law that way. And if you want 100 fake companies, you go to 10 different people right now. If you want 100 fake companies, then you'd go to 4. The bar isn't very high at this point in time. Whether it's 10, 25, or 100, it doesn't make a lot of difference. Really, if you're a guy that's in the business of being a commercial registered agent, you'll go broke at 25 just as quick as you go broke at 10. So it's superfluous.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Senator Perkins, we're back on the B portion of your Division One, and I would ask you to be on point and speak to that, please.
Thank you. Mr. President, just to give you a couple of examples of why this is, I think this is well, the average person probably doesn't have 10. The average person probably doesn't have more than one or two. In fact, the average person probably doesn't have any corporations, limited liability companies, with entities. What it is, what you do is you find a lot is, I'll give you some simple examples. It's very common for individuals who own rental properties. You may own a number of houses. It's very common that they would keep each rental, separate rental property in a separate limited liability company. And so when you do that type of thing, you end up being a registered agent for each one of those companies. Ranching families oftentimes will take, they may have their minerals in one entity, some ranch lands in one entity, other ranch lands in another entity, they may have their livestock in another entity, and they may have some of their equipment, some of their activities in another entity. So as you start to do that, and then these families start to divide up and kids get involved, you get in these situations where having 10 or 15 corporations is not all that unrealistic. And what we've heard time and time again as we talk about fraud is, and I agree, when you come in and somebody's got 1,100 mailboxes and each one of those represents a corporation, and then that's the only presence they have in the state, I agree that we need to really be careful on that. But when you get down here at 25, I can tell you that the commercial companies that charge to be a registered agent, the annual fee is somewhere around $250 to $255. Going back to the good senator from Goshen County, $250 times 25 doesn't get you very far down the road. So, I think it's one of those things, and if we adopt this bill, if someone wants to come back with 20 or 18 or something like that on a Third Amendment, at this stage, I think it's a reasonable number. There's nothing magic about 25, but I think it's reasonable in at least what I see around. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other discussion in regard to this division? I'm going to review this for the oral record and for the clarification before we actually vote. This is second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 4. There have been two divisions proposed in the beginning, and it was divided 1 through 22, 22 through 43. The sponsor then withdrew the second portion of the larger amendment. It was then further divided into A and B within the first division, A being 7 through 9, B being 1 through 6, B being 12, the second portion of B being 12 through 22. We voted on section A, 7 through 8, that passed, leaving of the entire amendment only section B, which I will not refer to. So then the vote that I'm going to ask for on the amendment is in regard to section B, and I would say all those in favor of section B, I'm sorry. Okay, 10. There's some discussion in regard to how we refer to those page citations. That's always an item of conversation. Anyway, I think we're all, the issue being is we're all very clear, I think, now what we're voting on, and I'm going to then call for a vote on the B portion, Division 1 of the amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. I believe it's pretty obvious that that voice vote has passed. I think that dispenses with the amendment, and there are no other amendments, I believe. That was the second of two, and I would say in regard to Senate File 4 having been read two separate times, is there any further discussion before I call for the vote on the bill? Senate File 4 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Thank you. Are there any announcements? Go ahead, Senator Hines.
Mr. President, the Revenue Committee will meet at 12:30 in room S-16 to take up Senate File 74, Severance Tax Trona Valuation.
Thanks, Senator. Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources, will meet up on adjournment this afternoon, and we'll take up Senate File 47, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, Senate File 45, Alcohol Beverages Manufacturers, Senate File 20, Livestock Disease Reporting Liability, Senate File 18, Reimbursement for Livestock.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your Committee Number 9, Minerals, will meet tomorrow, 15 minutes after noon, adjournment up in room S-18 to consider the following Senate files. Senate File 84, County Commissioners Special Expertise. Senate File 85, Janet Permits. Senate File 86, Greenhouse Gas Air Quality Regulation. Senate File 75, Business Ready Community Program Planning, and if time allows, Senate Joint Resolution 2, Riverton Uranium Mill Tailings Remedial Action.
Thank you. And Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 1 Judiciary will meet tomorrow, Friday, February 17th at 8 a.m. in room S1 to consider the following bills. Senate File 39, Adjustment of Child Support for an Adult Child. Senate File 27, Public Meetings. Senate File 25, Public Records.
Thank you, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Committee Number 2, Appropriations will be meeting upon adjournment today to consider Senate File 33, Department of Enterprise Technology Services, Senate File 35, Higher Education Reserve Accounts. We'll be meeting tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to consider Senate File 40, Judicial Salaries, Senate File 30, Highway Patrol, Gate and Warden, and Investigator Retirement. Mr. President, we do plan to meet in the afternoon on tomorrow's Friday. I'd like to make sure that the folks that I'm looking at the Senate File 12 and 14, both from Minerals, and so want to check today to make sure that you'll be around whoever's carrying those bills tomorrow afternoon on Friday before we notice it. But if you are, then we'll notice those two up tomorrow.
Any other announcements? We started second reading, first rodeo, 61st session with some pretty interesting bills, and I think it was good for us. And with that, I think we all are aware of the motion that we adjourn or stand for go for recess until 2 p.m. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. We'll see you back here at 2 p.m.